Welcome to Relative Paths, a podcast about web development, web design, and that sort of thing. I'm Mark, and I'm also joined by Ben.
Hello.
Who I sometimes go to say you're my co-host, but you're not my co-host, because I'm your co-host. So what should I call you?
I am your co-host, so you're my co-host.
Right, so
we are each other's co-hosts.
We'll work this out sort of
by episode 33. Yeah,
in our podcast marriage contract or whatever. So welcome to the show. Now, as regular listeners may know, the format of our show has very much been Ben, the experienced developer, teaching me, the novice, new, wide-eyed sort of guy, teaching me about the mysterious ways of web development. And it's got to the point where it's time that I actually made the step into actually doing it for real, because web development isn't my main job. I clean windows for a living, which is awesome. Footnote, not awesome. And it's just time. It's just time for me to actually make the change, I think. We had an episode a little while ago. I can't remember the episode number now, but Time to Get Real.
Yeah.
Something like that, where I talked about actually starting to take on real life projects.
That is our most regularly played episode, I think.
Oh, is it really?
If you add the old stats before SoundCloud to that. Anyway, sorry, that's a little aside.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. So, I mean, I was thinking about sort of how much resonance this would have with people, because some of our listeners are experienced developers, and we initially had some feedback from people who are in the same position as me, who are very, very new, or about to get into the industry.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure how many of them still listen. So if that's you, we'll be interested to hear from you. But hopefully this is relevant to people sort of wherever they are in sort of their web development or web industry cycle.
Hmm.
But it's time. So this is kind of...
exciting.
This could be kind of the equivalent of a locker room speech where Ben has to sort of like, fire me up and like send me out there and I score whatever the web... like equivalent of a touchdown is. But we're going to talk a bit about what you actually need to start for real.
Right.
Like how do you determine whether you're ready to begin? And what do you do when you're making your first actual steps sort of in the industry?
Okay.
So what do you need? What do you need sort of to be a developer, sort of in your opinion, in terms of skills, start doing this for money.
Okay.
What do you need?
So you've built a couple now of sites from beginning to end. Is more than one of them live?
Yeah. Actually, I've got three.
Three live sites.
One of them I built for me.
Yeah.
One of them was for Ken at Longshot.
Yeah.
And another one was for a window cleaner.
Okay.
So there is one kind of South Belt site, which was where I was a client, and then two sites where for actual proper clients.
Yeah. So I suppose if you have been able to, from the start to the end, build the site, it's gone live, and the client is relatively happy.
I'm hoping that they're more than relatively happy.
Then it seems, and that sounds like a crass, well, you're ready. If you've done it, you've done it. But it is a bit like that, isn't it? It would be wrong to say, right, I am now a web developer, if actually you hadn't managed to do it yet, or what you tried had kind of failed. Or you had someone who refused to pay you because of you damaged their reputation and their business so much.
Yeah, they've gone bankrupt and they have no home now.
But it seems that you've almost had the luxury of dipping your toe in the water, and that's been really good, hasn't it? It's been nice. You haven't had to fight to sink or swim. You've been able to test it out. Firstly, with a friend who you know really quite well, who is probably... would have cut you some slack had you made some mistakes or taken longer or whatever. And then someone who maybe doesn't know you quite as well, but again, you knew him, didn't you?
Yeah, actually the site that I built for Ken for Longshot was the perfect one, because there were a couple of others that that nearly happened but didn't for various reasons. There's a couple of sites where I was approached and then put in a quote, and I think the people wanted a site, but not enough to actually pay for it, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes if you're starting out, people might not necessarily know where you are with things. So if you're there yet, if you're ready to charge, because somebody might offer you work as a favour to you.
Yeah.
So you have a project. And I think that's what happened. but with Ken, it was a more complicated project than I imagined, which is great for me because it was perfect because it was an interesting site to build because of the content was actually interesting. Ken takes really good pictures, so it's just nice to be able to deal with that content. I really wanted to do a good job for him, so it's good motivation. And hopefully it's something which in time could be kind of useful.
And he's using it because I know we were at Prescott last Friday, Friday before last, and he said, oh, I must blog these because Mark's been nagging me to blog. And he did that night, and it works. The blog setup works. Yeah. Nice little write-up.
Yeah.
And that was good to see. He's like, ah, cool, because actually the site that Mark built is now being used by the client.
Because he's used other things. Like I think I've given with Pert, you can... it's blocks, they call it, where if somebody's producing a blog, you can give them different types of content which they can introduce. So, for instance, for Ken, he can put in a slider if he wants to, but he can put that where he wants.
Yeah.
He can put the images where he wants and, you know, just organize the text how he wants. And, you know, from templates that I've, HTML templates that I've built, that he can call in and...
Are we going to talk to him soon in a podcast?
We are.
So let's not cover too much of that because I think we're going to do a bit of a. So, Ken, from your point of view, did it work? And we might have to retract this whole. Well, no, frankly, it was rubbish.
I'll be bringing my gun.
Yes.
It's a toy gun. It's a water pistol. So, it's
fine. Air rifle.
But anyway, that was quite a good project. And just in terms of like what happens before you get to the point where you go live, I think. After learning a certain amount, I was thinking, oh, what do I do? And if you listen to the listener, you listen to the Shop Talk Show podcast, their mantra is just build websites.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to understand, well, that's what I need to do to develop, is just to have an actual project to build. And it's quite good that the first one was for me, because sometimes you can be a difficult client if you're the client for yourself.
Yeah.
But then having a couple of real clients... was really interesting. The window cleaning site that I built, I'm starting off topic a little bit here, but anyway, the window cleaning site that I built, the person who wanted me to build it said, basically just build what you want, which was interesting because you said, it's never that.
Yeah.
If someone says build what you want, it's never what you want.
No.
And it wasn't, but that was good because that was a good sort of learning opportunity for me. And what he asked me to do when he sort of said, actually, can you change those things, were good changes. And we had a little bit of a tune, like there's a couple of things that he wanted, which I sort of advised him against, and he took my advice, and then there's a few things that he wanted and that I did. And so, yeah, he's got a site that he's really happy with. I'm really happy with it
good.
As well. So that's good. So in terms of, so I guess if you can build a site and it works, and I used SAS and jQuery. And,
so you used current technology.
Yeah, built it with Git. Pretty pleased with my workflow. So I guess that's okay in terms of
skills. So it sounds like you feel like you're ready.
I built a site successfully. It's kind of funny. Sometimes it's knowing how it works for other developers, because I've mentioned it in past episodes where if you make a mistake when you're new, you sort of think, I'm not ready because I make mistakes.
Yeah.
But then when you see other people coding.
You turn up and a couple of hours ago we were stood in my kitchen and I was having a rant about a customer I've been working with for about 8 years. And we still haven't got it right.
Yeah.
And that probably tells you that it's okay to not quite have it right yet.
Yeah. And I think that's really, it's kind of reassuring. I know it's frustrating for you as a developer when mistakes happen. But it's quite, I don't know if it's any comfort to know that it's really reassuring for people like us who are beginning to see that somebody like you has been doing this for, 15 years?
Yeah.
Like, still makes mistakes.
The only problem is I listen to people like, I'm never sure about saying names. Anyway, Jonathan Stark, I hear him on a podcast interview, and it sounds like the guy never makes any mistakes. And I think, he must be a proper person.
There's bound to be a few. And even, like, I remember, like, I think it was a pivotal moment, actually. It's a really insignificant thing, but we mentioned, and I hope in what I think is going to be the episode that goes up before this, we mentioned Chris Coyer.
Yes.
And there's a service that he provides through CSS Tricks, a section called The Lodge, where you pay a subscription and there are tutorials on there. And it's one of the first tutorials that I saw was him redesigning his site, and he video logged the whole thing from the concept, content management to actually just starting coding it. And I remember watching him make a mistake.
Yeah.
Just type a line of code wrong. He tried to run it. It didn't run. He was like, oh, why didn't it work? And it was interesting seeing him go through DevTools to work out how it didn't work. And I was like, he made a mistake. I know what it is. And it was just, he made a mistake.
Yeah.
And so when I do that, like when I write my code and it doesn't work and I'm just like, and I'm looking through DevTools thinking, why won't it work? And it's something really basic.
Yeah.
Actually, every time I do that, I work out what I've done wrong. It's quite, okay, I know how to debug that kind of mistake.
So we should probably assume that everyone makes mistakes. It's just some people are like the Assyrians and never admit it.
Indeed, yeah. And I'm just going to rip your skin off.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it. So I think, so you're saying if somebody can build a website that works, then I need to be quicker.
Then you're ready. There are many people out there who can't build a website that works and still will sell the service and then find out, you know, there are people who have a lot of front when it comes to saying they can do things.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were someone who can definitely do it.
Good. It's a lot about confidence, I think. And sometimes it's just difficult to judge where you are.
Financially, it must be a bit of a worry as well. Because at the moment, you've got a full-time job and you're doing web development when you can. I mean, you've set aside some specific time for it, haven't you?
Happened, yeah.
But you're not doing it today as your main source of income?
No, which is, I'm quite fortunate because I'm self-employed. Being self-employed has its pros and cons.
Mm.
But one of the pros is that I can manage my time. So I can take days off to do it, and particularly when paying work comes in.
Yes.
My plan is to basically do my job at the moment for a couple of days a week, and to take on web development projects and do those for 2 or 3 days a week as they come in, or even just take a couple of weeks, like, you know, just take time off as I need it.
Yeah.
So I can do that. But for somebody that works in a full-time job, there are probably projects that you can do without having to leave your job, as I did, because I was working full-time doing projects on the evenings and weekends.
Mm.
Not ones that would take up all of my time, because you need to, you know, greet your friends and your family from time to time and eat food and sleep. But there are probably things that you can do.
Yeah.
So you don't just kind of jump right in at the deep end, and particularly if you've got a mortgage and bills, and which, you know, most
who
of us
hasn't?
Will have.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you have to be sensible about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got plans. But anyway, back to stuff that you need. So you need your equipment. So you need a computer, of course. Yeah. You could try building a website with an Etch-a-Sketch.
It's going to be tricky.
Take it to a meeting. So if you'd like to change the page just by turning the dials. So I've got a computer. I'm on Windows at the moment. You're on Mac. You're a big advocate for Mac over Windows because you went from Windows to Mac, didn't you?
Yes.
So you recommend
that? Yeah, I feel okay and justified in being a big advocate for Mac because I did spend years and years on Windows.
Yeah.
But I still realise that I can sound a bit like a zealot sometimes. But yeah, personally, I'm very, very happy with Mac, and I wouldn't turn back, and I get infuriated when I do have to use a Windows machine.
What is it? I mean, can you think of any specifics?
It's really hard. It's really hard to quantify. No.
Is it just a smoother experience?
I feel it's a smoother experience, okay. But it's the same. You would have the same conversation between someone who has an Android phone and someone who has an iOS. You can't win the argument.
Yeah,
you just forget it.
It's good to be objective because I think we've mentioned it when in episodes about CMS is how we can almost be like sports fans with these things. But I guess it's just a question of whether it works. And I've been fully pointed towards getting my MacBook Pro and get my Mac set up. And then hearing Dave Rupert from the Shop Talk show talking about going Windows has just made me think, oh, hang on. Windows 10 is okay.
Mm.
Apart from the fact, on my laptop, it's fine because I went from Windows 8.1 to Windows 10. It's fine.
Yeah.
On my desktop, where I do most of my work, it went from Windows 7 to Windows 10, and it has messed up my permissions.
Right.
So unless I run everything as an admin, which you can't automatically do, you can't have an account where everything runs as admin. You have to, you know, you get the little warning box come up, or you have to, there's a hidden admin site that you can open, admin account that you can open, but then that's a new account, so you've just got to repopulate it with all of your stuff. So it means that every time I make a change, like in Sublime, I get access denied. And so I change the security settings on the files, but every time I restart the computer, it goes back to not letting me have permissions. And I trawled through the forums And I'm just waiting for the next update to come out. Yeah. So that's a bit of a, I don't know if that's a specific Windows problem, because I have heard some people with Mac talking about having problems updating to the new OS.
Yeah, oh, and people have all sorts of problems with permissions on Macs as well.
Okay.
So it's not, it's not something that, oh, well, you need a Mac, then you won't have them.
Yeah.
You'll have them, they'll just be different ones.
Yeah. Okay. And Dave Rupert's gone, is just doing an experiment with developing on Windows. So I'm going to watch that with interest just to see.
Mm.
I know he has a certain amount of vested interest there, because I think Paravel, his web agency, or the web agency is part of, built the Microsoft site.
Right.
And I think Microsoft are giving him some stuff.
Right, okay.
So it was a bit like, I'm going Windows.
Yeah.
And then some stuff appears for him. So, but I'm sure he'll be objective, but I'll be interested.
Mm.
But anyway, you can develop on, you know, I've built sites with my Windows PC, just, you know, just a lot of snarling and fist waving, if you wave a fist. So what other equipment do you need? You need a printer, what do you think?
Well, I went for a few years without a printer and missed it loads, because I do quite often want to just print off something that someone sent me so I can read it in the bath. No, you know what I mean? I want to be able to sometimes print something off and scribble on it with a pen.
Right.
So on screen doesn't always work, but that could be me because I'm getting on and a bit old school. But there are times when you need to print things off and mail them, and it's just useful having them, and they're so cheap.
Yeah.
I think I bought one, a black and white, a laser printer, and it was something like 65 or 70 quid. And so they're not beyond the, like they used to be years ago.
I remember, because I used to build computers back in the days when they were
hundreds and hundreds. Yeah, and then the toners and things. I mean, still, that's the thing to wait for. The previous one I had, a brother printer, the toners were more expensive than a new printer, which is a bit of a problem because people are just throwing out their printers buying new toner. That's another discussion. But yeah, a printer ends up being very useful.
Okay. And having fast internet again is...
Yes.
Or not fast internet, just reliable internet.
I would say reliable is more important. In your day-to-day development, I'm pretty sure you're not using 30 meg.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not. If you had a consistent 8 meg connection, you'd be fine. When you go to push and pull a website from somewhere, or you have to FTP some large files somewhere, you're downloading, you're installing something and it's large, then of course you're going to notice the difference. But what you really notice is when you go to publish something, publish a post, and it times out. Or you want to just log on. I use FreeAgent, and we may talk about that in a minute, but that's online only. And I use Google Docs and the Google system, and that's online. So you need your internet connection to be up. So paying maybe slightly over the odds for a provider that provides business hosting is good.
Okay, is that what you do?
Mm,
so how fast is yours? So,
yeah, mine is, I think it's 30 meg.
Okay.
We do have some problems, actually, with streaming to our Blu-ray Sony jobby player. I think that's more to do with the Sony device and the router. But the connection itself never goes down, okay. And that's with Zen Internet, and I like them.
Okay.
And they're very helpful, but they're not the cheapest, anywhere near the cheapest. So, but then I went with them, having tried BT before that, and then PlusNet, then BT, and BT bought PlusNet, and who else? All sorts of people over the years I've tried, and I settled on Zen, and I've stuck with them, and I like them.
I'm with Virgin at the minute, and I think we've got 50, and it's been reliable, and we're on cable, so I don't know if that's inherently more reliable.
Well, I've heard this very hit and miss with Virgin. You're either fine and you've got it and you have no problems, or have heard lots of stories of people with real problems and sort of days of outage. But I don't know. That's just what I'm going to say. You know, I've got no statistics or anything to base it on.
And again, I think some people will have good experiences with a company, and others, someone else will have terrible experiences. Yeah. We used to live out in a little village on the outskirts of Cheltenham.
Mm.
And I think we had less than a meg because it was a really ancient sort of telephone cables. And the telephone cables went through a tree, and the tree blew down, and we were without internet for about 3 weeks.
Whoa.
We went bananas.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, I'm never going to try one of those experiments where you unplug. And again, trying to develop websites when you have no internet at all is quite tricksy.
It is.
There you go. Anything else? What are the, in terms of skills, equipment, anything that I haven't thought of that I might need?
We're going to talk about specific tools or not?
No, not really, because I think
Have you got some sort of account system or accountant or something like that?
I think we're coming up to, we're actually, this is going to be part two of part one of the podcast, but we've gone on for a bit. We'll take a pause there and we'll come on to this in part two after the tool stuff. So this is our tool star section where we mention a software service or package which is particularly useful. We normally try to very deftly segue into this so we can mention it as part of our normal flow. So that hasn't happened. So this is going to be like pulling the brakes.
Okay.
So what have you got for us, Ben?
Yeah, it is a tool, and I think it might be a tool that might be useful for you. I mean, you may already have something that does it, but I really like Browser Stack. So have you used it before?
I've heard of it, but no, never used it.
It allows you to run up an instance through a browser of a certain OS running a certain browser. So you can say, I want to fire up Windows 8.1 running Firefox 28. Yeah, so okay. You can, and it bills you based on the time you're using it for. Now, I stopped using it for a period of time because they changed their pricing structure quite dramatically. And I think it's something like $12 a month. And I'm happy with that. That's enough for the amount I use it. And then they changed it to be quite a lot more than that. And yes, you could do mobile testing as well. And you could do this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. But it took it up. And I got approached by them because I closed my account. And they said, why have you done it? And I told them, oh, all right, well, we'll see what we can do. But I don't know if anything happened. Like, I forgot about them. And then I just had a mailer through saying something like limited or mini account, Browser Stack mini account, $12 a month, I think it is. And they brought it back again. And it's perfect. So there's no mobile testing. And they've got other services. And I don't use them, so I don't know exactly what they are. But just the basic service of being able to, it allows you to do a certain number of hours testing a month. So right. You fire up an instance, and often you only need it for a couple of minutes, because locally I use it for Windows testing. Sometimes I use something like Virtual PC to actually run up a Windows instance locally if I've got to do a lot of development on it. But generally it's just checking that things work.
Right.
In IE. Or the other day I had a problem where something specifically wasn't working in Firefox but on Windows. So I had to check that, and it was a little oddity with the way that SVGs are rendered in a Windows version of Firefox. But I find it perfect for that, because you can run local instances of things on a Mac. You can run a virtual machine that then you can run other OSs under it. But you have to maintain those, and you have to save their states, and they're large. And I've got a MacBook with an SSD on it, so it's got a small drive. So it's not like I've got, you know, a terabyte drive. I've got, I don't know, 250 gig. Mm. Well, I'm using 200 of that just with my Creative Suite and all my files. So it's just good like that. It's an easy way, and you can do it monthly, so you can just stop or start when you want. And I think it could be a really useful way of you being able to quickly test on Mac, for example.
Yeah.
For you being able to test things on Mac.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I'll look into that then, because I'm... It's interesting. I've just been using Microsoft Edge browser.
Yeah.
And I've been using Flexbox.
Yeah.
Works fine across every browser. You know, my setup works fine on everything else apart from Edge. It's been quite interesting.
Anyway, okay.
So that's our tool star.
Good.
So this is part two. This is a longer podcast than I anticipated, I think, because there's quite a lot to cover. Because it's quite a big thing, I think, changing.
It is.
Your career. And
when do you think you're actually doing it?
I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to start taking on projects now. What I'm doing at the moment is building my website.
Yep.
Pixelsmith.co.uk is up, but there's just a holding site there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm building a slightly more fully featured one at the minute. And I've been doing things like I've been taking business card samples. Mm. So I'm looking at some nice letterpress business cards, which are nice but expensive. So I'm going to make sure I get a decent deal on those, because like you don't want to be like at your local networking event thinking, I don't want to give this card away because it's a pound.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because some of them are like a pound, £1.20 each. And if you kind of
order
hundreds of those. I mean, it's good to have a nice business card, I think, if you're the kind of person that gives out business cards, but I don't think it's worth like breaking the bank for it. And it's good not to have to be reluctant about giving your cards out.
I've never needed them until we went to WordPress WordCamp.
Yeah.
And I then thought, oh, I wish I had something.
Yeah.
But I say I've never needed them. Maybe I should have been giving them out all this time, but it's not personally been something that I've done. However, I think there's an upcoming networking event of some sort, isn't there?
There is.
Were you going to mention that?
Yeah, so it's a business networking thing. I think Elliot Richmond tweeted about it.
Okay, yeah.
And it's in November in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And I think it's a meetup for local businesses, like a networking event type thing. So yeah, I'd be good to have some business cards or something like that. And I think for you, the stage you are with work is different because you've got plenty of work, haven't you?
It's true, yeah.
When you're trying to drum up business,
yeah,
it's probably good to have like a fistful of business cards that you can give out fairly liberally rather than sort of have to tie each one to a piece of elastic and snap it back if you don't think they're interested after all. So there's that. So I'm sort of getting that together. But actually onto the subject of getting work, most of your work is through recommendations and repeat business, I guess,
yeah,
isn't it? So I'm striving to get to that point, which is I don't have a lot of work to show.
No.
So how do you bridge that, do you think?
You could try and build up some... You could create portfolio work,
right,
or have personal projects, maybe. Now, this is not something I've done.
But I guess it's not something that you need to do, is it?
No, but at the beginning it's not. Well, no, it was a bit unique. I started doing it with a body of work already.
Right.
Because I left the agency I was working for and they just continued passing work to me. So that's ideal, really.
Yeah.
It was hard to give advice on how you can drum up business because I haven't had to do it. But we see other people, developers and designers, creating some of their own portfolio pieces or projects, which they can then show their skills with.
I think we're going to mention it in an upcoming episode about building your own portfolio website or your own website to promote your own web design concern. So I think we're going to devote a whole episode to that. So I might skip that for now, actually. But I mean, that's the major concern. I think the thing that I'm the most concerned about isn't, well, I'm concerned about what happens if you get stuck in a project, but then once you've built a few websites, you kind of know what to do. You go on Stack Overflow or you just Google it or you just phone a friend.
You know enough people.
Yeah.
Actually, in terms of that, getting new work, one of the things to do, you see a lot of people doing on Twitter saying, I'm available. But one of the things to do is letting people know that you're available and they'll have you on their mind. So for me, if I get approached to do something that I haven't got time to do, or it's something that Perch might be suitable for, but I think I will hopefully be able to pass something over to you.
For example.
Yeah. But that it does work like that because I get passed work by other people who say, I don't work with WordPress. Can you do this or that? You know, so it is useful networking with other developers and other people within our sort of sphere.
It seems to be particularly useful for this kind of work. There are a certain amount of developers that you see that don't actually engage that much and seem to do okay. So I guess, again, as long as you've got enough work coming in and it's work that you're happy with, then, you know, well done. But like a lot of the podcasts that we listen to, a lot of the people that we're aware of them because they're engaging with the industry, but it seems to be particularly relevant to us. Because I guess in this industry, it feels more like people collaborate rather than compete, which is one of the reasons why I'm kind of so happy that I went this way in terms of changing my job. Because you could end up going into something that was ultra competitive.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of work out there, and also the length of time that a site stays relevant or live can be really quite short.
Yeah, yeah.
So work does turn up again. But I've ended up with quite a few jobs just by asking people if they needed a new website.
Okay.
Or if they thought about it. Or quite a few clients have been started just because we've been doing something and I've said... Or I'll just say, I'm a web developer. And they'll say, oh, I need a site. And then you've got the choice then and there whether you start talking about it straight away. But often it's not appropriate because you're at a wedding or you're at the pub or you're... But then following up saying, I'll email you. If you've got an email address or would you mind me phoning you about it? I'll phone you next week about that. And probably three or four of my clients that have then turned into long-term clients that have come back for more work have been... people I've asked if they want to, or I've just told them what I do. So I wouldn't worry too much.
Okay.
The word of mouth thing has worked really well for me, so I've got quite a lot of confidence in it.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't worry too much. And you're chatty and friendly, and you're going to mention what you do if someone asks you what you do.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. You, try and stop me.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. Yeah, but you know what I mean. You'll just chat about it.
Yeah.
And I think that helps to be just quite open about what you do.
Yeah. I've mentioned it to a few of my present customers as well, and I've got one job which I really hope it comes through. I'm fairly sure they won't listen to the podcast, but they're an artist.
Mm.
And that's the kind of work that, like, working with Ken has been really good fun, because you know, it's a website that I like going back and looking and seeing what new images he's put on the website. So hopefully this one will come through. I think I emailed her. I was a bit kind of like biting my nails about doing it, because this is again a proper live clients for, you know, somebody that I don't know. Well, I do know, but I don't, that isn't a friend or in my social circle. So I guess it's the next step. So I guess in a way, it's been a good path for me, because building a website for me, building a website for a couple of good friends, and then building a website for somebody who I know, I don't know very well, but who I already have a bit of a rapport with.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a proper site, hopefully. So maybe that's kind of a useful path for.
And if you someone. Can at all attach yourself to an agency or another person, then a developer, or maybe not a developer, maybe a designer or someone that does SEO work, does marketing work, but actually isn't a developer themselves, that could be a really good path in, because then you're not working directly for the client, and that's always a bit cozier.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy to say I got a job from someone. I might be happy to come to you for a certain section of it.
Yeah.
That's super safe work for you, because I would just pay you as a resource, and we would have an arrangement, and then I would deal with the client, and you wouldn't have to deal with them. Mm. That sort of arrangement is what other people have done for me. They've just passed me work and said, you know, they've sometimes been a bit apologetic about it. They say, well, I don't know if this is enough, but basically, here's the budget, here's what you've got to build, and here's when it's got to be done by. Do you want that? And in the early days, I mean, I'd say yes, but now I might not have time. But the early days, it was yes, 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 basically yes, because it's all portfolio work. It's learning new skills. I know I'm going to get paid. And I know I've got a soft landing if something goes wrong, because I haven't got to talk to the client.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the person who's commissioned me to do the work, who I know. Or they've come to me in the first place, so you've already got a bit of kudos with them. It's like a word of mouth. A recommendation is worth so much. Yeah. So, yeah, try and get that work. So I'd be surprised if you find that you've got to really search around for work.
That's good to know. That's very reassuring. And it's that's interesting, because sometimes I think I've assumed that it's going to be a bit like sort of taking the cold plunge into the deep end. But I guess it doesn't have to be quite as, you know, quite as much of a shock.
No.
As that. So, that's interesting then. Because I think that's the thing that I've worried most about. I mean, I still get a little bit. I'm still not 100% confident over. Well, no, I mean, I think when you get into a project and there's something which is a bit sticky about the actual project, the actual building of the site, I get a bit frustrated. But then I guess anybody's going to get frustrated at that. But that's not the thing I'm the most concerned about, because I've got myself out of situations like that, you know. But it's the businessy side of things. Mm. Not so much the, it's the getting work. I think that's the thing that I've kind of wrung my hands about the most. Mm. So it's good to hear that, you know. And plus, I think sometimes when I listen to podcasts by people who've got agencies, who are perhaps aiming for slightly, you know, high-grade work, I think some of them have struggled. And sometimes I think I've worried about how much work there is out there. But then, you know, again, you take a step back and it seems that everybody's got work. And even when you listen to them, they're getting work, but it's not quite the level of work that they want. But they're still doing pretty well in comparison to most others. And again, like, people just it always really gratifies me just how people are in this industry. Like, you go to a conference with people who are all competitors, but we're all buddies, and you know,
and they'll help each other out.
Kind of I think when we went to WordCamp Birmingham, there's like a section of lightning talks at the end, and some of them were people who would developed really useful bits of software that they were given away for a few quid.
Mm.
And it's just, again, it's just nice to sort of think that, you know, in other industries, I'm sure people would be paying through the nose for things with that kind of capability.
Mm.
But so many things, like Yeah, so many things that are available for free. So it's quite a, yeah, I'm quite positive going forward. Yeah. We have gone way over time, I think.
Have we?
So I might sort of cut it short there. I hope this episode doesn't sound too self-serving, but it was kind of, this is me kind of going out into the world of it.
Yeah.
I think I'm, you know, deciding whether I'm ready to actually sort of make the switch. And it's become a bit more, you know, a bit more urgent for me because I'm getting a bit of carpal tunnel.
Oh, right.
As well.
Yeah. So you actually want to stop doing your window cleaning as soon as possible, really?
Yeah.
Don't get a carpal tunnel from keyboard use, will you?
Apparently, keyboard use doesn't give you carpal tunnel.
Oh.
If you go onto the NHS Direct site, which is, you know, the UK National Health Service for our international listeners, a very reliable source for health information. Because when that happened, I've done one of those things where I've gone on the internet and self-diagnosed.
Mm.
And I think I might have what they call, it's a cubital tunnel, which is a similar thing, but on the other end, it's where your ulnar nerve gets a bit pinched.
Oh.
And because I'm getting pins and needles in my little finger and in wedding ring finger.
Yeah.
So the nerve gets pinched because I'm bending my elbow
a
lot with my work and often when I'm giving kind of, you know, giving motivational speeches about kids and stuff, I sort of bend my elbow quite a lot. And it's just been making me think I need to hurry along because like I'm starting to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a good like push factor. So I think I'm ready to start now. Ben has taken a photograph of me, which is why I was kind of going a bit, oh dear. that's a reassuring sound.
That's good, it's fine. Okay. I'll tweet that in a minute.
Is that revenge for the photo that I've just tweeted?
No, mine's a good one.
Like, I just tweeted a photo of Ben and Ben wasn't entirely happy. What, you say you had Nero?
Like Nero with unwashed hair.
See, nothing bad happened to Nero.
Oh, wait.
Oh, never mind. So anyway, so this is me actually making a start. So in upcoming episodes, depending on how things go, I'll hopefully be talking about how I'm getting on with actual new projects, because for a lot of the episodes that we've talked previously, it's almost been a bit theoretical.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a chance to put this into practice, and I'll be very interested to see how much my opinion of previous episodes changes when I'm actually having to deal with this stuff for real. So, because there have been a few times when I've come to you with ideas and you've been like, okay, I'm just going to build a web form. With what? Web form stuff. Why? And you've been like, yes, okay. And then when I think my
it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine. There's loads of support out there.
I think that's a good takeaway, isn't it? That if you're in a similar position to me, that you're making a change.
If you've put effort in to learn and you can do it, you're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hadn't learned and you couldn't remember anything you'd learned and you hadn't tested anything and hadn't proven what you can build, you would probably have a problem now, because every client is going to end up being unhappy and you're going to have to just spend all your time looking for new clients to upset.
yeah.
Whereas ideally, I'm not a business growth expert at all. I'm kind of like a keep it as small as possible to just get enough to live happily on. So I'm not the kind of person that wants to gather clients, but having a few nice clients who don't stress you, but keep challenging you every now and again with some good new projects and pay well and are nice to deal with, that's got to be the ideal.
Yeah. I think whatever business you or career you go into, there's always a cost, whether it's in terms of stress or time or other things, your health. And you have to be convinced that it's worth those things.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is part of the reason why I'm changing my job, because my present job drives me mad. And, you know, I just like the look of building websites. It just seems much nicer. But like you said, I'm not interested in and having a massive agency in the end of it. That's not where I see myself in a few years, getting stressed about.
No.
All that sort of thing, but yeah.
Okay.
So that's our main bit, so we're now going to do a jukebox.
Yes.
So this is our jukebox, where we pop a couple of tracks onto the Relative Paths playlist. Do you want to start us off, Ben?
Yeah, okay. We've got a re-entry into the chart this week. No, the artist is CFCF, and I submitted... I tried to submit the whole of the Exercises album in the past. Actually, one of our earliest episodes, I think, because love that whole album. But I think, that's around 2012, that album. Last month, a new album was released, and I'm just checking. The album was called Radiance and Submission. Now, I don't like the whole album in this case. Some of it's got singing on it.
What?
But the first tune is called In Praise of Shadows, and it is a very simple ambient tune. And on Bleep, I don't know if you ever check Bleep, the Bleep website, which is exactly what it sounds like, but they have it under the section of modern classical electronica. So this, yes, In Praise of Shadows, and it's just a simple ambient-y track. I like it. Here's a snippet.
What's Bleep then?
Bleep is a music website that specialises in what I'd call fairly fringe electronica.
Okay.
And sells it digitally. Most of them are encoded as FLAC, which is high quality. But they also do limited vinyl pressings and things like that. Probably it's a shame really for them, I guess, that things like Spotify have come around, because years ago I would buy everything through Bleep, because you'd never find it on iTunes. But now the iTunes network is so massive, you can find almost anything you want if you want to buy it.
Yeah.
And if not, you find it on iTunes, on Apple Music or Spotify, just to stream. But yeah, still a very good site to check for new releases and every now and again buy something.
Thanks, Ben. Mine is a attempt by me to take over the entire Relative Past playlist with Boards of Canada tracks. I think we've got four or five on there already.
Yes.
But the reason why I wanted to pick this one, this is Aquarius. This is off the 1998 album Music Has the Right to Children.
Mm.
And I remember exactly where I was when I first heard this. And it's one of those tracks that sort of turned my musical taste. Mm. I was on a campsite in Newquay, and I had an old Discman a CD player, put my headphones in, and I was talking to a friend and just put this track on. I stopped talking to the friend, I wasn't being rude. And I just absolutely fell in love with this track. It's just probably my favourite. It does have some words in.
What?
They're not lyrics, so we'll see if it kind of gets past the filter.
Okay.
I don't want to sort of gild it, but it's just brilliant, and it just sort of marked a bit of a new phase in my musical taste. So I thought, as I'm sort of starting a new phase in my
it was
work
a gateway
life,
drug for you.
It was a gateway drug, yeah. So
okay, let's have a listen then.
Business.
So that's our two entries to the Relative Past playlist. And it's the end of our show. So what do we normally do here? We tell you that we are on Relative Past on Twitter. We do have a Facebook presence of some sort, don't we?
The page's functionality on Facebook is a bit pants at the moment. So it doesn't really get much love.
Yeah.
We are on Google Plus for the few people that are in there. It's a bit like that space station in 2001. It's all really white and pristine and lovely.
Fine.
But there's like about three people in there.
Okay. Haven't they closed Google Plus?
No, still working.
Something's happened. Last week, week before. Yeah, something's happened.
It's still there, but anyway, okay. By the way.
And you can search for Relative Paths on Spotify or Apple Music to get the playlist. And please, please leave us a review on iTunes or anything else, but basically iTunes.
Yeah. Or Stitcher, we do get some listeners.
Yes, we do get listeners on Stitcher, you're right.
But that's how people discover us. That helps us to reach new people. So we want to do that. So if you could leave us a review, it's really helpful to us, and we really appreciate it when you do that.
Okay.
And thanks. Also, the show will be on relativepulse.uk, our website, with show notes and a discussion thread. So if you want to join in, and particularly interested to hear from you if you are in a similar position to me, you're starting out new, or if you've started out recently, or if you've been going for a long time and you just remember what it was like to start out, we'd like to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in your ears in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, thanks. Bye.